670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
We are titillated to be joined by the former coach of the Pitt Panthers, now on Fox, Dave Wannstedt. Dave, the coach of December 1st, 2007, as I like to put it, and as you guys all like to put it, 13-9. Good morning to you, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's things in Pittsburgh? What's going on?
We're doing good up here, Coach, and Pat's here as well. We're excited to get this game kicked off on Saturday. Obviously, you know, the backyard brawl. Can you take us through, you know, this final moments of 13-9 back in 2007 and the feelings that were a part of that atmosphere and a part of the team? Just take us through those moments of beating West Virginia, number two team in the country, on that day in 2007.
Yeah, well, you know, Dorn, in fact, you know, obviously playing for me, kind of experienced that having played in this game myself for 4 years when I was at Pitt as a player, and then having coached there with Coach Majors for 2 years, and then 2 years with Coach Sherrill, you know, I obviously was involved in this rivalry, have seen everything, both sides of it, the big comeback when I was a freshman at Pitt, 35-36, and then we've been on the other side too, where my first year we got slaughtered. So what I wanted to try to do, if you remember, I was always big into trying to make this rivalry be as real as possible for the players. And by that, I mean, you know, 1 year we put on the 35-36 game, and I had Dave Havern, if you remember, came in and talked to the team about that and showed the old tape from 1970. And then I had, obviously, Matt Cavanaugh. I was fortunate because Matt Cavanaugh had played in that game like I did. And so I was able to bring players back and tell real life stories of their experience and what this game means. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, in today's college football, there's not a lot of games and a lot of situations that unite. Sure, we're all Pitt guys. And obviously you and I got a different relationship because of player coach. But when I'm with, somebody that maybe I didn't coach back in the day, the one thing that we all kind of had in common was that we played West Virginia. And so the backyard brawl was part of who I was as a Pitt player, and maybe Larry Fitzgerald. I never coached Larry. I'll use him as an example. But when Larry and I can get together and we can talk in common ground about West Virginia. So I think this game really carries a little bit extra weight besides being the rivalry and a backyard brawl. There's something about being a Pitt player, and I'm sure being a West Virginia player, that this game, is always going to be part of your legacy there, good, bad, or indifferent at the school. So, you know, when we went down there and played them, obviously we were four touchdown underdog or whatever we were, but we felt like we had a good plan and on offense, and we were going to take the air out of the ball on defense. If our listeners can believe this, Pat Bostic threw for more yards. I love Pat. Pat's like a son, okay? But Pat Bostic threw for more yards in that game than I believe Pat White did. You can look it up. That Pat White was their quarterback. One of the greatest dual threat quarterbacks maybe in college football. I mean, this guy was special. And but Pat, so the plan was, I make that point in jest because, you know, we weren't going to go down there. Pat was a freshman, and we weren't going to air it out. And I remember talking to LeSean McCoy, our running back, and said, you know, get ready. I mean, you're going to you want to be fed. Well, you're going to be fed this game, buddy. And, I, you know, he came out of the game with a couple broken ribs and, I don't know, close to 40 carries. But, it was a brawl. I mean, it was something. And two things that I remember about it, I remember talking to the team, and I wanted, I was still building. This was our second or third year in the whole building process, and we were trying to turn the thing around and get the people and the philosophies and all that stuff that you do when you take over. So I took all of our freshmen. I mean, the Henry Hanoskis and Miles Kerrigans all the freshmen that were in that class, we took you down there and had you stand on the sidelines. And I said, I want you guys to see what the hell this thing's all about. And we had everybody there on our football program. We took the air out of the ball. And I remember talking to the team saying, guys, we got to win the turnover battle. We got to win the penalty battle. You know, the things that we can control, these are must in a big game like this. A team that has so much more talent, and we're playing on the road and everything involved, and we can't get any penalties. We got to keep our composure. The first play of the game, Jeff Ota, first-round draft pick, big Jeff, our left tackle, he comes off, and I forget their defensive end, but he was a guy who played in the NFL too. He was a great player. And these two guys came off like two battering rams, and they hit each other. You could hear the pop all the way on the sideline. And as soon as the whistle blew, they both started swinging. And I don't know who was standing next to me. It might have been McKillop or somebody. And I turned, I said, and I just shook my head, and he started laughing. And, I mean, but the first play of the game, there were flags flowing. The guys were just wailing on each other. So they didn't listen to me very much. I don't know.
Coach, I threw a pick on the first play. Pat Bostic here. I'm glad you didn't say anything too bad about me. I love you too. I threw a pick on that first play, but when you mentioned Shady and rushing 40 times, now you understand why I called a timeout when he couldn't see in the huddle. He had turf pellets in his eye. I call a timeout. I walk over to the sideline, and he's swinging his crutches like he's going to hit me in the head. And I'm like, Coach, our only chance to move the ball, can't see. We've got to call a timeout here. But Coach, I wanted to go back a couple years.
Pat, stop. Because I want you to know this is Doran. Mark this down. This is how I feel. I did not know Pat was going to be on, but I am looking. I do my homework now. I'm not going to walk in anything blind. So I am sitting here as we're talking, looking at the stats of 13-9, and I'm looking, and I saw those two interceptions, but I was not going to mention them, Pat. If you didn't bring it up, I would have never said a word.
I did throw two picks in that game. But, Coach, 2 years before that, in 2005, Rich Rodriguez was at the height of his powers as the head coach of West Virginia. I want to hear your thoughts on him being back there and your relationship with him. You guys go way back. But you made a comment coming off the field in Morgantown that your guys needed to, quote, run faster, which is a famous line. Just tell us about those West Virginia teams and then contrast it now 18 years later. What do you expect Rich Rod to bring to Morgantown the second time around?
Yeah, that first game was not an eye-opener to me, but it was in a way it was, just because our guys played as hard as they could. And they says, Coach, what's your thoughts? Or, well, I don't know how they asked the question. And I said, I only got one thought. We got to run faster. We're not that team over there that just beat us runs a lot faster than we do. And we got a lot of work to do as far as recruiting and the type of players we're going to get. And so that was a real key for it. That was what was behind that game. It wasn't that we didn't know their plays or they tricked us on anything or they were more – They were just faster than us on all those option plays and pitches and quarterback reads. Pat Hill and Slayton and those guys, they had a great team. They did. And you know what's funny? When I left Pitt, I was working for I went to Buffalo and a couple, in the NFL. But then I was with Fox Sports in L.A. I was doing college and NFL stuff in L.A. every week. And one of the big teams we had at that time was the Pac-12. And Arizona was in the Pac-12. Rich Rod was coaching at Arizona. So I actually saw him at several of the media events. And we sat down and had a couple drinks together. And, I think he's a heck of a football coach, okay? Pitt fans may not want to hear that. But he's an excellent football coach. I've always thought that. And, so now with 72 new players, you know, that's going to be a turnaround, and it's going to take him some time. But I don't underestimate him, or I would never say that they were not prepared. I mean, you know, we won that game. You know, we blitzed. Paul Rhodes had a great defensive game plan. We blitzed him. I think we only missed 8 tackles the entire game, and we were going one-on-one in the open field. And Shady obviously ran the ball. We ran a fake punt and got him on that. We obviously won the game when we took a safety and ran out of the back of the end zone to let the clock run down. So we did a lot of things special teams-wise, offense-wise, defense-wise to win that game. But, no, he's an excellent coach. They just don't have the players, you know, yet. But they'll get them. I'm sure they will.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Your thoughts on, I got to sneak one Steelers question in, the old man Aaron Rodgers, the way he played last week, Dave.
Well, if you look at his stats last year, you know, I mean, the guy, I think he had 20 touchdowns and 6 interceptions or something last year. I mean, that's a good year under the mess that they had up with the Jets, with the head coach getting fired and the offensive guy, coordinator, I mean, Hackett. I mean, it was a mess, okay? And it was the year coming off of his Achilles, and we all know that. I'm about 10 years off my Achilles, and I'm still limping. But anyway, so it doesn't come back, you know, overnight. So I think he's healthy now. I think he's in a place mentally that he feels good about it. You know, Steelers just got to get their running game going. They cannot rely on Aaron Rodgers to throw 4 touchdown passes every week and win. So if they're going to make a deep run, which I think they will and they can, you know, and Mike knows that, you know, they've got to become more efficient running the ball. And that was unusual for their defense to give up that many points. You know, that doesn't happen. If you said Aaron Rodgers is going to throw 4 touchdown passes against the Steelers, you know, you say, oh, God, how many points did they win by? You wouldn't think that it would come down to that because you just count on their defense being week in and week out so good.
Dave, always great catching up with you. We really appreciate you jumping on with us this week.
Doran, you snuck Pat in here. I did not know that.
Hey, okay? I mentioned it. I mentioned it right before I gave right off the bat there. So
always great talking to you, Coach. You're the best.
All right, guys, go get them. Beat West Virginia, man. Let's go. Get this thing going. 3:00, I'll be watching.
Sounds right, good. Thanks, Coach.
See ya.
That was gold.
Pat,
yeah,
Pat, I didn't know you were on.
Pat, oh, Pat.
How about when he goes, Pat, stop.
Stop.
I'm glad you didn't say anything too bad about me. I love you too. I threw a pick on that first play, but.
That's gold right there.
He's the best.
That is good stuff.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.